much have we considered the Packers moving up in the draft? I know it's something we've discussed a little bit, but it's not something I don't know if we've really taken into serious consideration. They certainly have the draft capital to do so, 5 picks in the first 100. But when you start taking a look at the roster, especially offensively, I don't think that there are any starting jobs up for grabs right now. That's not to say, you know, you draft an offensive lineman, maybe somebody comes into play for that left tackle spot, right guard spot, but I think right now it seems that the offensive side is pretty solid. Defensively, I think there's a lot more things up for grabs. But over at The Athletic, in their latest mock draft, I know some people don't like mock drafts, but bear with me.
You can shut up.
This mock draft from The Athletic is direct insight from scouting and coaching sources or assessments that they've blended into their analysis. So that's not to suggest the consensus was obtained or that every opinion was taken on blind faith. At least the discussions help clarify team needs from conflicting player evaluations, leading to a dizzying array of fake but plausible trades. And in this, the Packers, they have the Packers not selecting Chewy at 25, but trading all the way up to 12 and giving up picks number 25, 58, 91, and 245 to trade up with the Broncos to the 12th pick.
To get
Quinyon Mitchell.
Quinyon Mitchell.
Cornerback Toledo.
Toledo.
If they traded
like
up for
that.
A cornerback, I would
like
be flabbergasted.
Yeah, same.
I would be, whoa. Like, that would be out of left field. At least with Jordan Love, like, and I'll be honest, I know Wilde and Tausch were doing, you know, their worst takes or coldest takes earlier last week. Yeah. I was not a fan of the Jordan Love pick. Was not a fan. But at least there were whispers, there were rumors. Like, I was prepared mentally that they were going to potentially do that because of how much they liked the pick, right? They liked Jordan. So they ended up trading up and getting him. If they traded up to 12 to take a cornerback after literally bringing every cornerback that they had last year, paying Keyshawn Nixon what they paid him, really to be an elite slot corner, which I'm not sure he is, certainly an elite returner, and if, you know, maybe he ends up making his money if they go to this XFL kickoff. But man, I would be shocked, Drew. Would you be shocked if they moved up to 12 to take a corner?
I would be shocked if they move it up to take this corner because it's very goody, small school.
Yeah.
So you really can't gauge how good he is. And I love the Mac. I love Maction on my Tuesdays. But I don't think there's a plethora of receiver talent in the MAC this year. So it's kind of a Christian Watson thing where you're moving up to get this guy based upon probably combine numbers. Am I right? Because there's no receiver in the MAC that you're going, oh, did you see that game when Quentin Mitchell shut down this guy from Ball State?
Yeah, the little
Am
blurb.
Am I right?
Yeah, the blurb in here, too, which I think kind of illustrates your point. Mitchell dominated the pre-draft cycle, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of tells you that this is somebody who, yes, is. My guess is he meets all the. We talk about relative athletic score. I'm assuming he meets all these criteria for the Packers. But a corner.
I'm with you on mock drafts. I mean, sorry, Joshy, but some of them are just so dumb. All they're looking for is click. So I don't know where this information is coming from. But if they did move up to get this guy, I would be very.
Look, I like.
Even though I do think they should trade up, Gabe. I do.
Yeah. So there's.
Or is this tell? Go ahead, Josh.
His RAS is relative athletic score, which is kind. It's not what the Packers use, but they use some form of similar because they seem to always draft guys that are very high in this. He was a 9.75, but I don't see any agility scoring. The other factor here, aside from what Gabe said about the cornerback position, which seems to be they feel pretty strongly about seeing as...
If they took one in the fourth round, would I be shocked?
Yeah,
no,
correct.
No, yeah. Absolutely not. Your first pick?
And the Packers typically go power five in the first round. Now, they find all these guys from smaller schools, and some of them they even do as high as the second round. But if you look at back all their first round picks, we've got major, major programs. Georgia, we've got Michigan... We've got Iowa.
Georgia again.
Right.
Georgia one more time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they seem to rely on the guys that are from pretty much elite programs.
Yeah, so let's just take a look here. So we have, in the last handful of years here, Chu, Lucas Van Ness out of Iowa, Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, both out of Georgia, Eric Stokes, Georgia, Jordan Love would be the one, you know, outlier here going to Utah State, but Rashawn Gary, Michigan, Darnell Savage, Maryland, you know, while Maryland isn't necessarily a big football school, it is the Big Ten. Jair went to Louisville. Kevin King was a second-round pick, but he was their first pick in 2017, went to Washington. Kenny Clark, UCLA. Demarius Randall, Arizona State. HaHa Clinton Dix, Bama. Dayton Jones, UCLA. Nick Perry, USC. It goes on and on and on. So to that point, outside of what they did with Jordan Love, yes, it is Big Ten, SEC, ACC. These are the guys they're looking at in the first round.
But if there is something to this, does that mean they're done with Stokes?
Probably. But again, I think that they look at safety, even though I don't think there's necessarily a safety worth trading up to 12 for it. But if you're trading up to 12, like, to me, why aren't you just taking J.C. Latham out of Alabama, who's one of the best tackle prospects in this draft? Like, if you're trading all the way up to 12 and you're already kind of stocked and loaded at that cornerback position, like, why not get one of those things that's worth trading into the top 15 for? I'm talking about pass catchers. I'm talking about quarterbacks, left tackles, and guys who can get after the passer.
How about this Dallas Turner, though, out of Alabama? Joshy, do you know anything on this kid? I mean, he's really kind of the...
Yeah. I know he's regarded as like the best defensive option. He's a pass rusher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got the testing, he's got the accolades, he's got the big school thing. I think what's going on here, if I were to diagnose this, there's strong indications the Packers intend to move up.
Yes.
I think there's a misdiagnosis of what they're going to take. I think there's a very good chance the Packers end up in this 12 to 15 region. It's very goody to do that, but with the...
Is it?
To move up, he does it.
This is
move around.
Yeah, he moves around, but like in the first round, this would be a big jump.
It would be. But
this is a huge jump. Like, yeah, he moved up to get Christian Watson. He's done a lot in like the second, third rounds to move up. Obviously moved up a little bit to get Jordan Love, but this would be the biggest trade up swing he would take.
Yeah. I think if they go to 12, they're looking for one of those elite pass blockers.
Yeah.
They're looking for the offensive line. They don't want to be at the back end of that run because they're predicting this to be maybe one of the best offensive line classes ever. And would you prefer to have one of the, you know, five guys who are perennial Pro Bowlers or like a guy who's good but not quite there?
Yeah, but if it is the best O-line class, then what the hell are you trading up for to get one?
To get the best of the best.
Yeah.
Ah, that's such a crapshoot, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a crapshoot to sit back and wait, too. Like, if you really like it, the only time, and I think the only way you move up is if you really like a guy. Like, if you're making a big jump to 12 from 25, it's because you absolutely love someone and probably have them ranked maybe a little bit higher than everybody else. Or you think that somebody else might grab them.
Yeah, and they tier these guys. So
yeah.
If the Packers have four guys that they think are Pro Bowl level offensive linemen, and then after that is just solid starters, but, you know, still good players, why not go get one of those guys in that tier?
I just don't like it. I just don't like it.
So what would you trade up for then, Chu?
A linebacker, maybe a corner.
Even though there doesn't seem to be too many open spots in the cornerback backfield.
Well, they're not taking them by what Ron said. You can never have enough of them, you know? And it's kind of like receivers now. You can never have enough playmaking receivers. Old linemen are kind of, they find guys, you know? You find guys in the fourth round. Look at Bakhtiari. Bakhtiari was a third round pick?
Fourth round pick.
He might have even been a fourth round
pick. Yeah, he was a fourth round pick.
That's kind of their M.O.
But also, like, you take Royce Newman in the fourth round.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, they've been able to find them
over time, but
that doesn't mean
that... John Michaels.
Oh, sure.
You take John Michaels and you take Sherrod in the first round, and they stunk.
Yep. I think that's just a way, you know, it's a crapshoot no matter where you go. But the bust level is lower in the first round.
Yeah. They're just more glaring because they have, yeah, you're more likely to have a good player in the first round than any other round.
It's not to say that they're going to be good, but
it's just there's the glaring misses everyone gets excited about because of the first round pick, so they seem to hurt more.
What about a D lineman, interior lineman, not a rush guy? Would you be okay trading up for that? But then you run into Harrell, you know?
Well, but again, like there's, yeah. I think you're, we focus, and it's easy to focus on the busts, but BJ Raji, right? Like, I mean, some of the best, yes, we remember the busts because they're first round picks, but the
Raji
Packers.
Raji wasn't a bust, was he?
No, but I'm using Raji as the counter to Harrell.
Kenny Clark, very good first round pick.
Yeah. Like, so when you start looking around at some of the best Packers players over the last 15 years, a lot of them are first round picks. A lot of them are second round picks. Yeah, there are some busts in there, certainly, but the hit rate on the first round picks is higher than, you know, the fourth round.
The last thing you want to do, Gabe, though, is give up a second package with a one for a bust.
Oh, yeah. That's just a kick in the junk.
Yeah.
Because
like
you've got
one for one bust. One for one bust, you're like, all right.
Yeah, like if they stay at 25 and he busts, but then you hit on your second, one of your second rounders, a third round, whatever. If you hit on a couple of those within the top 100, you're cool. But if you give up some of those top 100 picks to move up and then you bust, draft a bust at 12, that stinks.
That stings. That stings.
That's not great.
No.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer some of your questions as well. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and hear and find Hear District now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.